The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
I'm Michael Dang, live on United Public Radio Network.
Right. So
hopefully the Win app is off and everything is good and everything is on.
The wrong way,
I will say this, man. What a wacky, wonderful world we live in. It's a clown show, and I'm not into clowns. They actually polled people, and 43% of Americans asked this question about clowns, said they don't like clowns, and 40% do. It's very similar to politics, you know, the Republican and the Democratic Party, and if you can call them that. It's just become a real hate fest, and unfortunately, there's a lot of good people in the middle of this hate fest, you know. And then you have the issues of our times. Oh, man, you know, you've got abortion. And now the southern states are out there passing bills, you know, getting rid of abortion in a lot of cases. The heartbeat law, that if you can hear a heartbeat, you're not allowed to terminate that person, right? So, you know, I'll tell you about my own personal experience. For me, this is the deal. It was a gray area because as a male, there's not a lot that I can do if someone out there is pregnant. You can give them support. You can say, hey, you know, you need anything. You have support groups out there for people who are pregnant. There's all kinds of situations. Everybody's got their own situation. Everybody's got their own thing. Every human's got some different thing going on. You know, we may share a lot of things, but when for the people out there who are considering abortions, you know, sometimes it's a tough choice for them. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people use abortion as a birth control because they just don't want to go through the means of getting birth control or using birth control. So whatever, you know, there's all kinds of cases, all kinds of places and all kinds of heads that are in this. So as the Democrats gleefully pushed the late-term abortion in New York and other places where the baby basically could be born and then they can terminate it as the mother's right, right? And then the word right and rights come into play. What about the baby? What about the baby? So this is the way I see it. And I've had a lot of people, you know, I have friends who are liberals, I have friends who are conservatives, I have friends, all kinds from all over the world. Everybody's got their own opinion on this, male and female. They all have their own opinion. And then when people say to me, oh my God, it's not a baby. You can't consider it a baby. You know, it's not a baby. You know, and I'm like, well, you know what? No matter what you can consider it, no matter what you call it, no matter what a personal word you have for it, you're terminating a life. Stopping something from happening that would normally happen unless some medical thing came into play where that life would be terminated, right? But basically, you're stopping somebody from being. So no matter what you want to call it, no matter what you want to classify as people alive or dead or whatever, you know, or not alive yet, or I don't know, man, because dead is dead. So you can't say they're dead, and alive is alive. You know, just want to make it that simple. Let's make it that simple. So then you have these southern states that are riding the GOP's coattails. And they know that the Supreme Court right now is stacked in the GOP's favor. Maybe, because I've been paying attention to the Supreme Court. I see what they're doing. And even though the liberals went after Kavanaugh like rabid dogs and destroyed his name, his family, the whole bit, and thumped on him, said terrible things, calling the man a mad rapist. Come on, you know? A mad rapist. So I think that this guy has been making a lot of middle of the road and or liberal decisions in that court. He's not seeing eye to eye on the hard conservatives. But with the heartbeat law, and it's kind of a fine line, because they say that after 6 weeks or so, there could be a heartbeat. A lot of people don't even know they're pregnant at that point. So it's really, if you're going to, this is the deal. If you're going to force people's hand, they're going to go elsewhere. They're going to seek other things. And I know that, you know, that's no reason to make a law or break a law or have a law, because these are personal issues. You know what I mean? It's a very difficult law to enforce. If you're going to have an anti-abortion law, it's something very difficult. And you're going to say you're going to lock people up for having abortions, or lock abortion doctors up. I would rather lock up doctors who are prescribing opioids to people that they know don't deserve them or shouldn't have them or shouldn't have them in their hands, or maybe even suspect those guys selling drugs, right? And this happens a lot in our country. It happens a lot in my community in Ithaca, New York. I would rather lock up those doctors than these abortion doctors. But there's got to be an established line of decency and respectability when it comes to this issue. Because the late term thing, let me tell you, man, it pissed a lot of people off. And it made a lot of people, anti-abortion crowd, that grew. And the pro-abortion crowd shrunk. And it's very hard to make a case when people are going out of control. And I'll tell you why this is happening. Because Trump got in there, and you had your resistance movement. You had all these people coming out of the woodworks screaming that they hated whatever, they hated him. That's fine. I don't begrudge people out there for their hatred of Trump. I don't like him either. I don't begrudge people out there, but don't bring the country down because you don't like the guy. You don't like his politics. It's not even his politics. They just don't like him. I don't like him. It's not his politics. It's him. You know what I mean? It's him. So with me personally, so now this left turn knee-jerk reaction to the left had exploded. There is no low. Their Green New Deal and this and whatever. They're proposing the craziest stuff, reparations for the slaves. Every time I hear that, I think that people are just trying to buy votes. They're buying votes. You got one guy out there saying he'll give you $1,000 a month as a freedom dividend to anybody over 18. It's crazy. And you're trying to buy people's votes, you know? There's no freedom dividend. Lower taxes. Alleviate the burden on working class people, right? There's lots of stuff you could do, not some cash giveaway. You know, ridiculous. Ridiculous that people have sunk that low. And they're offering these things as if that money comes from taxpayers. The guy actually had the nerve to cite Alaska, how people get money there every year from the oil companies for the drilling that they do in that place. You know, it has nothing to do with money coming from the taxpayers going into the pockets of people that, you know, probably don't deserve it. There's a lot of people out there, and he's like, well, the people that get this money are going to be out there, and they're going to spend money, you know, fixing their car and, you know, doing these things. I'm like, you idiot. They're going to go out there and spend money on booze, drugs, and hookers and strippers. Not everybody, but there's a lot of them that will. And there's people out there that abuse these programs. And if you don't do anything, if you don't have any oversight, and if you're not monitoring these people abusing these programs, then you're taking tax dollars and just burning it up and throwing it away. And you're negatively enabling those people to do those things. So when they come out with these rules, you know, late-term abortion, that's such a left turn. It's such a hardcore, because there's not a lot of people who are Democrats that are down with that. They're not dancing on top of rooftops saying, hey, you can kill a baby. This is what a lot of them did. And then, of course, the ones who are out there on Twitter, the ones who are out there on Twitter, the ones who are out there on you know, Facebook and Hatebook and all these other things, all these people, they take those extreme examples, and then the media pushes those extreme examples. So a lot of people think that's how those types of people think. But it's really not. because I talk to a lot of people who are Democrats who don't support any of this stuff going on, and they've got a big fat field of 23 people running, and not one good one in the whole mix. You've got Joe Biden leading the crew, you know, for a party that's so anti-old white rich man. It's very funny to listen to them yammer away about how much they hate people. And then who they got? You got Joe Biden. Joe Biden's trying to buy people with marijuana. He thinks he can get the weed vote. It might put him over, man, because people are sick. People are sick of laws that don't help anybody, you know? I mean, like, there's a lot of laws out there that kind of just harangue you, and they take the money out of your pocket. You go through the court system. They get, oh, man, you know, you get convicted in the country, and you have a record, and you have all kinds of stuff, and, you know, you're a part of the system. And then they can, like, basically control your life through that stuff, right? They want to. There's some communities that tolerate criminals, like Ithaca, New York. They embrace criminals. They love criminals. They treat the criminals like their victims, and the victims like their criminals. Interesting. Such a big liberal, namby-pamby community. You'd think that in their true essence of being a Democrat, your true essence, you know, if you're a progressive anyway, is for progress in your society. But the liberals don't see it like that. And progressives and liberals are two totally different animals. And I am a progressive. You know, I do not see eye to eye with hardcore conservatives or hardcore liberals because it's just unrealistic. And you know what? These elected representatives are there to represent people, all of us together. No matter what the hell you are, I don't care if you're some transgender, I don't care what color you are, what religion you are, all of us together. You know, and every decision they make, they should think to themselves, should I be making this decision? Is it in the best interest of the people who elected me to make this decision? But they don't do that. They don't do it. The Democrats especially talk to groups. They're groups. They put people in. They compartmentalize their groups. You're a group. You're a group. You're not a group altogether. You're just an individual little group, you know. So maybe you're the angry lesbian group, or you're the transgender, or whatever. You know, they try to lump the LGBTQ, whatever. That keeps going on and on and on. People keep labeling themselves, and they want special treatment because they think that they deserve it. They think they deserve it. You know what? How about this? They don't deserve to be hated upon. They don't deserve to be beaten up in public. But they certainly deserve, you know, not to be treated special in our world, because it's all of us together. You know, you start treating one person special, and the person sitting next to them says, hey, how come I'm not being treated special? I do the same stuff, and I pay the same taxes, and it's my country too. How come I'm not being treated this way? So then you get these guys, oh, man, you know, these other people have less than you, so you should give more. You know what? If you work hard, and you're willing to work harder than the person next to you, and you have more from working hard, why should you give that to the person next to you who's not willing to work hard? That doesn't make any sense. Not socialism, though. But all these people preaching socialism, I don't see them parting with their money. I don't see Bernie Sanders getting rid of his dough. I don't, you know, the AOC, she's got a ton of money now. All I see her is out there yelling and screaming. And her voice is so annoying, I can't even listen to it. When she's like, oh, come on, man. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? You make people turn the TV off. I don't really listen to that, you know? And then I know that the GOP loves it when she talks, because she doesn't say anything. And then they get to say, well, look at this idiot, you know? She gets tired of being called an idiot. Then stop talking. You know, she's just repeating stuff that her group, the group that supports her, that gave her power, the masters who own her. That's what she does. That's what she does. So I watched the whole debate, going back to reparations, whole debate about reparations for the slaves and how whatever. How many slaves? You know, unless you want to metaphorically say everybody is a slave to the system. How many slaves are out there? Put up your hands right now. Raise your hands. How many slaves are out there left over from the olden days? that didn't get theirs. Yeah, guess what? Slavery was a terrible thing. We didn't invent it in this country. We put an end to it in this country. And there's a lot of white people that got together with everybody else that put an end to slavery in this country. And people should get on with it instead of looking for a freebie or a handout. Because you can flip the switch and say, okay, you got to repay all the welfare and all the social service programs and all the stuff and all that, including crime victims and all that. You want to start looking at different groups and labeling people. You can do that all day long. For good, for not. You know, they're just trying to make their case. I love it when people come up with bullcrap. They pull it right out of their ass, too. They pull it right out of their ass. They pull up a big pile of bullcrap. And they say, oh, well, it's because of this. Their justification for doing stupid things. I've heard that all my life with religion. People justifying all their hate and all their anger and whatever. You're going to hurt all the people for something stupid. You know, you're going to hate people you don't even know. So this is the crazy craziness is going on. And instead of people preaching unity and getting everyone together, more divide. And then you get these people, 23 people. De Blasio, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, just announced that he's going to run. He announced and people laughed their asses off. You know what? It's a clown show. You should laugh, right? People laughed their asses off. Bill de Blasio. He vows to make America as dirty and lawless as New York City. You know what I mean? You got to respect that. You know? Got to bring it to the whole. I'll bring rats to this whole country, damn it. You deserve them, you know? How about that? How about mass homelessness for the entire country? So Bill de Blasio, who is known as the worst mayor, the only reason why he won last time, because nobody serious ran against him and he stayed in there, right? Big liberal base of power in New York City. Of course, New York City's got so many problems, so many issues. It's so disgusting. You know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse because nobody's cleaning it up. No one's doing anything about it. Their school system's terrible. It's so terrible, the federal government had to come in and start taking care of a lot of these social service programs and other programs because these guys ran into the ground. And the homelessness in New York City is out of control. So riddle me this. The liberal communities across the country, and I'm going to use that word liberal again. The liberal communities, because there certainly are San Francisco, Chicago, New York City, you know, big liberal communities, right? Why do they have such a problem with homelessness? And these are like the richest cities. These are the richest cities. You can't buy a house in San Francisco for under $600,000 or $700,000 now. Ridiculous. Unless you want to live in a demilitarized zone. You know, same thing for New York City. Try to get your place in New York City. Try to get your place in a halfway decent neighborhood in Chicago. Hey, you're not going to do that. You're not going to touch these places unless you have a boatload of money. So these are very wealthy limousine liberals who live in these places that love to wage war and they love to say all kinds of stuff, allege all kinds of things. They lie through their teeth a lot of the times. So tell me, why isn't it Shangri-La in all these communities? Why isn't it they have the best programs? No homeless people, you know, no problems, right? Not having people dying from this opioid crisis. Oh, man. I was just watching, flipping around the news channels. I really don't watch any kind of news. I put it on Fox. Fox is kind of my baseline, I guess, which I don't even like them. So it's more of a just, you know, there. It's there. Right. And then they got this dude, Brett Baer, right? He's got like this 10-year-old boy's haircut, that guy. So I don't like a lot of people on there because I think that they're charlatans, man. Charlatan. I use that word. I love that word because when I think Sean Hannity, I think charlatan. The guy's a charlatan. And I'll tell you why. I'm not just going to say something and run away like these dudes. I'm going to tell you why. This guy does a radio show, right? Most of them do. They have a radio show. They have a television show. So on Sean Hannity's radio show, he advertises that he used to be a reverend. I don't know if you know that. And like, you know, shanty type of reverend. He advertises a book that he wrote of decoding the Bible where you'll make millions of dollars. He claims you buy this, you have the potential of making, because you can't say you buy this, you make millions, you get sued. Then you do make millions because he can sue his ass to hell for millions of bucks. So anybody that's coming out with a Bible code book alleging that you're going to make money is a snake oil salesman, is cutthroat, somebody that you don't want to get your information from, I'll tell you that. You know, and that one person was successful buying his book. He's not putting people out there. Oh, man, I bought Sean Hannity's book and I made millions and millions of dollars. Not even a million pesos, nothing. But they got those guys on. And then I don't take Fox seriously. I don't take CNN seriously. I don't take any of them seriously, you know. And I get my news not from them. And I think that they just cherry pick and they put out there what they want to put out there. For the sole purpose of pushing their agenda, no matter who they are. That's what it is. But I'm listening to this guy, and he's like, you know, in 2017, you know, 45,000 people died from opioids in the United States of America. And then it's funny because statistics are out. And 2018, last year, 2018, 74,000 people died from opioid addiction. And it's just funny how Fox isn't up on their information, isn't up on their statistics, that they got to cite something. Because to me, I like using both of those numbers because it shows you in 1 year that it jumped from around 45,000 deaths to over 70,000 deaths in a year. Talk about an increase in your problem, you know, almost double. Of opioid deaths. So now the Fed announced a whole bunch of more lawsuits against Purdue, who produced OxyContin, who lied about OxyContin, who says that OxyContin was not addictive, and the thousands of doctors that were also pushing OxyContin after they knew it was addictive. These people were coming back to them saying, hey, man, you know, I got this problem. I need more and whatever. They knew it, but they were making money from it. And then that's the evil part of it. You know what's wrong with humans? I'm going to tell you right now that humans are too primitive. And guys are worried about their dicks. Women are worried about their prior parts. And, you know, other people are worried about money and power. There's not much people focus on aside from those things, you know. But what about just having a good life? And what about, you know, ignoring all that? So every culture that has every religion attached to it or whatever, all have the same general statement that Lao Tzu said, that there's no greater curse than desire, no greater discontent than wanting something for oneself, you know? And then that's 700 years before the Bible was written. Temptation is there. I was listening to this. I'm trying to get this Catholic priest who is an exorcist on the show. He's the big one, you know, the big muckety muck in exorcisms. And the guy's he's Italian. He's very standoffish. He's hard to get a hold of, as you can imagine. You know, he's busy because in the Catholic Church they perform a lot of exorcisms. Hundreds, if not thousands. There's over 50,000 people on the waiting list. 50,000. You would think it would be a good business. You know, if you were in exorcisms, right? And yeah, a lot of that is mental illness and things like that, and they should be treating it as such, but some of it's not. And this guy believes in it. Good enough, man. They have a whole exorcism school. Good enough for me. That's fine. I'm kind of the head that unless I can disprove it, it's plausible. You know what I mean? It's out there. It's out there to be proven, put it that way. So trying to get a hold of this dude. But I was reading about him the other day, and he said, when it comes to demons and the devil, that temptation is even worse than possession. Temptation. And I was like, boom, Lao Tzu said that 700 years before Jesus, you know, about desire. And it brings people down a bad path. So then we look at our world and the people who represent us and what their character is. I don't care about what they say. I care about what their character is. Because if they have, if they're just bad people, or if they have just no morals or whatever, you don't need them representing you because it's not going to help you, no matter what country you're in. I see a lot of crazy stuff going on. And look at England, Theresa May. She was a piss poor leader from the get go. They never even wanted Brexit. If you tell me that government wanted Brexit, I'm going to tell you they didn't. And when Brexit passed, when they voted for it and they wanted it, You knew that they were going to drag their feet. In fact, I said it on the show. They were going to drag their feet as long as they could and get people all sick and tired of it and see if they can get the winds to blow from the other direction so they can either have another Brexit vote or cancel it out, whatever. And that's where we're at. And now they're all battling it out. And these politicians, no matter what, they're just about money, no matter what. And I listen to what they say, and I laugh about it because they're all about money. And you got to follow the money. What motivates them is money, not representing people. And, you know, I was just thinking earlier today, what an opportunity it is in the world to represent people in their lives. You know, imagine being elected to a position that the decisions you make can actually help the masses, help a lot of people. Even if it doesn't help the masses, you can help the little people. You can help the people that are falling through the cracks or following behind. You know, it's an honor to represent people, an honor. And these guys treat it like a con, like they're a bunch of con men running the long con, you know, of just conning people out of everything, lying through their teeth to you, taking what they can from you, and just basically buying and selling you, you know. That's the ugly part of it. That's the ugly part of it. And there's too much of that. Too much corruption. Too much of that. So in this big field we've got, it's a clown show. It's going to be more of a clown show. But every time someone says reparations for the slaves, they put Trump in office in 2020. Every time someone says Green New Deal, you're going to have to get rid of everything you care about, whatever. They put Trump in office in 2020. Every time someone says the word socialism, they put Trump in office in 2020. So I don't think any of these Democrats really want to win. You know, I think that they just want this guy to stay in office so they can keep fighting him, so they can keep blaming him for all kinds of crap, so they can keep raising money. Because the Democrats have never raised more money in history since this dude's been in office. And even before, when he was running. So then you get Attorney General Barr. This dude's got a good sense of humor. I appreciate that as a comedian. You know, I like people with good senses of humor. But I will say that this dude is going after people, rightfully so. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And I don't even care about Hillary emails. I'm tired of hearing that. I care about the bribery that she engaged in while Secretary of State and before. Bribery for taking money from the Clinton Foundation and using that money for their own purposes. That's what I care about, bribery. They say, well, it's pay to play. That's great. That's a great white-collar crime term for something that's unbelievably felonious and incredibly illegal, something that could land you in jail for the rest of your life with enough charges on you, but they let her go. Obama gave her the green light. So I like all the stuff that's coming out now because a lot of it's just truth. When Obama said they didn't spy on Trump, they did. You know, so, I mean, the whole Russian collusion thing was made up. I like the fact that the truth is coming out. And there are people out there not willing to let go of it. They're like, well, no, he's still a criminal on this. Listen, man. You could say bad things about Trump all day long, and you'll probably be right. He's crass. He's a bore. He's a liar. He's a bully. All that. Yeah, yeah. Guess what? All of them. Not just him. You show me that shining star in the group of politicians. Come on. And so listen to all these people. If you want to beat Trump in 2020, you can't go out swinging. You have to go out thinking. And you have to appeal to people who not just don't like him, because it's people who don't like him who will still support him. You have to say, okay, this is the reason to vote me in. And I think that the whole division thing, because the one who rises up has to be able to point their finger at the Democrats and say, I'm ashamed of my Democratic Party for the way they've acted and treated this president. You have to take that narrative. You have to say, I'm ashamed of the direction that we went in. I'm ashamed of this resistance. I'm ashamed of this attempted coup, because this is not our country and we need to support each other no matter if you believe who the president should be or not. You know, so an honest person on an honest mission, appealing to everybody about unity, about moving in the right direction, and keep the programs that work, get rid of the programs that don't work, and help people along the way. That's what it's supposed to be about. That's what it's supposed to be. And you want a leader that's got some class and some dignity. No, no, they don't have to be a black woman. They don't have to be a white gay guy. They don't have to be any of that. If they are that, that's great. Because if you start electing people because of their skin color and because of their sexual orientation or any of that, you failed. You failed in the world of democracy. That's not a democracy. That's not a democracy. You know, it's racist or it's biased to do something like that. You vote people in who are qualified. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. You know, as long as they're American citizens and they have that birth certificate, they don't play around with that for years. You know, that was Trump's thing against Obama. Remember that? It was funny as hell, man. I got tired of hearing it too. Everybody did birth certificate. Where is your birth certificate? But then you have to ask Obama, well, why wouldn't you show your birth certificate to somebody? Especially when you had that doctor overseas saying that, you know, his mother was there and then, you know, she gave birth to him there. The guy even said, we don't get a lot of white women having black babies. He said that. The doctor said that, you know, from Kenya. So if you can believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care, man. I liked Obama in the beginning. I thought that the guy could actually go in there. The alternative was John McCain and Sarah Palin. There was no choice. None. You either voted for Obama or you voted for John McCain. There was no way I was voting for John McCain. I didn't like him then. I don't like him now. He's dead and he's gone. I don't like him. I don't like to hear about him. I don't care about hearing his daughter talk and these legacy politicians. You know, I don't care. You know, they're legacy families, lifelong politicians who don't do anything, don't accomplish any goals. I don't want to hear that. I don't care. So I voted for Obama. The only choice. The only choice I could have. And at that time, Obama was talking the talk and walking the walk. He was like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I supported that. Then he got in. And I think within 3 months of his administration, you could go back. I did shows on that. You can go back in time. Around 3 months, I think the guy had a nervous breakdown. You know, or it just stuff got into his head that made his ego expand to the point of ridiculous. And then between being arrogant and egotistical, looking down on this country, looking down on people, running the country into the ground, they went hog wild. He had 2 years of Democrats in the House, the whole bit, full control. They went hog wild. What happens in the midterm? Republicans start coming back in because people were scared of the direction their country went in. He ran the military into the ground. He ran a lot of programs into the ground, businesses into the ground, you know, mock businesses saying you didn't build that and whatever. Remember all that? A lot of scandals, Fast and Furious, that whole thing. Oh, the whole Hillary thing. I love how the people who support Obama say he was scandal-free administration. Well, he's scandal-free? When? When did that happen? So bad enough. We had enough trouble before Obama with that idiot Bush, bad enough. And then bang, this guy comes in and I don't know. He's like the dude that wanted the job that he couldn't do. And everything fell apart. You know, literally everything fell apart. And basically he played the violin while Rome burned. And then, you know, there's a book out about him saying that he's angry at this country because the country betrayed him by voting Trump in. Isn't that funny that he just takes it so personal and the country betrayed him? Maybe he betrayed the country. Maybe every time he and Michelle went out there and you know, mocked America and said terrible things about this country, nothing good. They didn't say anything good. It was all just terrible stuff. Maybe if they had done their job, Obama at least, you know, had done his job, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. And then you get Trump. And I said, because of this Obama stuff, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction to the right. Everything's going to go from one side to the other. And what happened? Trump gets in there. And I didn't think Trump was going to win. I didn't think Trump was going to win. You know, we were on the air that night. Joe Montaldo and a whole host of mutants we were on the air that whole night, election night. And then, man, Trump was ahead the entire time. The entire time he was ahead of Hillary. Hillary was ready to do fireworks show. She had barges of fireworks out on the Hudson, man, you know. Big bucks. I used to shoot fireworks professionally. Big bucks for those shows. And then you're ready to shoot, ready to go off. Mm-hmm. The balloons ready to fall. She had the whole thing, you know. And then as the time went on, I like the LA Times. The LA Times publication, they're good. They called it, you know. They called it the entire time. When they did their polling, they were spot on. You know, the people who are in the news, I don't consider myself a newscaster because I'm what I am. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting here telling you the news, but we discuss news stories. So a news analyst, you might say, or a news analyst, definitely more. You know, a comedic news analyst, that's fine. Whatever, you know, whatever you want to call. It doesn't matter. I answered anything. So it was... You rely on your sources of information, and you want to be right. I don't go on the air and talk about stuff that I'll make things up as I go along, talk about stuff that's not right. I like my information to be right. And then it's actually hard to get, because if there's a news story, whoever wrote that original story, the other news agencies, if you can call them that, just copy the one story. So if you want to dig for info and you want to be like an investigative reporter, and that's part of my soul is to dig for info. When you start finding out the truth, you're like disgusted. You're like, oh my God. And then the LA Times, I'll just add that, but the LA Times, I respect their polling because they were spot on, and they usually are. So I like them. Anyway, New York Times, no. Washington Post, no. Washington Times, yeah. LA Times, yeah. But when the night was going on, and Trump won, basically, I mean, they still had more votes to count. And, you know, there's still a lot of people. And, you know, well, we haven't counted every vote yet. And there's still, you know, votes from Samoa have not come in yet. And, you know, they're kind of like relying on any outpost that there is. These Democrats, like, you know, well, we haven't counted every. And then Hillary's like, she didn't want to give up. She didn't want to give in. She didn't want to, you know, say, okay, I concede and all that. She hung in there. And then, you know, her main man went out there. That guy, Mr. Hocus Pocus, he came out, and then people criticized that because it wasn't she that came out. He came out and said, "Well, you know, we're gonna have to see." You know, and Trump was sitting there laughing his ass off, laughing. He must have been the most laughingest dude on the planet that night. Because everybody was just shocked. It was like, oh, you know, and if you see the people in Hillary's audience, right, you see the people out there that were supporting her, then I have a lot of those pictures on my computer because it was just such raw emotion. You know what I mean? I like real emotion. I don't want fake emotion. I want real. You know, I want to see that raw. And they were like just raw, crying, throwing up, whatever. Man, people just, you know, urinating themselves like, oh, Trump is in. It's all over. It's over. And then the whole Hillary won the popular vote thing after that. And then she went on her sour grapes tour. That was over 2 years ago. She's still doing it. She, you know, Bill and Hillary out there on tour. Nobody's buying their tickets. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants to see them. If you'd imagine, nobody wants to see them. And I still don't hate Bill Clinton. And see, me personally, I was like, you know what? If Hillary gets in, I don't like Hillary. I can't stand Hillary, you know, can't stand her. She's just fundamentally unlikable. Every inch of that woman's unlikable. She's like an angry Teletubby, just angry, just nasty and sour and not nice. Calling people names like deplorable, that type of stuff. That didn't work out too well for her. Russian collusion, that didn't work out too, you know. It's like, who came across the emails? It was the Russians, you know, really? Whatever, man. I knew if she got in, Bill Clinton would be running the show. He would be running everything. And I don't mind him. He's a sex fiend, which isn't a terrible thing. he's a sex offender, which is a terrible thing. I believe wholeheartedly that he raped people and that he molested people. I believe wholeheartedly that that guy can't keep his hands to himself, you know? So, but Hillary, I don't know, man. She just is just angry. And I think that with her going to New Hampshire last week, I reported that a little bit here on the show. She went to New Hampshire. She's testing the water. Hillary sees a bunch of losers in the race. As far as she's concerned, don't forget, she's got a ton of money. Don't think that Hillary's just some millionaire. They have money overseas, man. They've got billions, these guys. They have stolen and stolen and stolen. They've got billions. They have interests all over the world. The Clintons aren't going anywhere, and they're trying to push their daughter out there, and she's just horrible. Are all types of horrible, right? But now Hillary's saying, hey, man, I'm not too over the hill. I see this race. I mean, compared to Joe Biden, she's like a spring chicken. You know what I mean? Compared, that guy is just so old acting, you know? And you don't have to be, if you're old, you have to be old acting. You know what I mean? Look at Sylvester Stallone. They're like the same age. Mick Jagger. I just saw a video of Mick Jagger dancing in some dance studio, doing his moves that he's going to be doing on stage this summer for the whole Rolling Stones tour they're doing. The guy's my mother's age. He's like freaking 77 years old, and he just had a heart valve operation. Mick Jagger, he's moving it, you know, shaking his booty, jumping all around, doing his little Mick Jagger moves. And here's Joe Biden, like, walking up like, hi there. All right. All right. Okay, dude. Enough of you. Enough of you, Mr. Joe Biden. But Biden's going to try to ride Obama's coattails, which ain't going to work because people are sick of Obama. They can't stand him. And the people who liked Obama liked him because of a thing. It wasn't because he was a good leader. They had other reasons to like him. The ones who swear by him and said he was this, he was that. They don't even have a reason. When I asked him, what did he do for the country? Whenever someone says they like this politician, I say, what did they do for the country? Or wherever the hell they're from, the city, the town, the county, the state, what did they do? What legislation did they pass that actually benefited people? Or are they just sitting there like some goddamn prince having concert after concert? You know, Obama did that a couple, two, three times a week on the reg. And they passed it off as a thing for the arts, which, you know, only a couple of those events made its way onto PBS. The one with Paul McCartney. They had a personal concert with Paul McCartney. And then, you know, Obama was there in his tuxedo. Michelle had some $55,000 dress on. They made a big deal saying it was worth 55 grand. You know who paid for that. It wasn't donated, by the way. Some of the stuff might get donated here and there, sure. But most of it, no. I remember they spent 25 grand on one of the daughters for Thanksgiving. And she didn't even wear the dress. Mombika and Bobika. You know, but I watched them sitting there in the tux and their dress and the spotlight on them and Paul McCartney singing Mila, Michelle, my belle, and Obama toasting him with the champagne. Who the freak is he to do something like that? He's the president of the country. Who is he to have that going on all the time in the White House? For what? You know, or giving out medals to people like Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks? I know a dude who charged a machine gun nest in Vietnam, was shot 9 times and still kept going, killed everybody in that machine gun nest, and saved his whole freaking platoon. That's a hero. That's someone who deserves a medal. He did get a medal, but not some medal from the president. No, Steven Spielberg deserves a medal because he makes movies. Are you freaking serious? Why don't you just start issuing medals for people who make commercials and all that? Because these guys made millions from their movies and from acting in these movies. You know, they're actors. They're not heroes. Did they dedicate their money to the arts? Did they go and help all these different groups? No. They do their bare minimum. I always look this stuff up. I love to look up, like, you know, that other dude, there's a lot of people out there that will talk all their talk, right? And then you say, okay, well, what are you doing for your community, right? you're gonna take a knee for football, for black people, and whatever. What are you doing for black people? You know, you live in a $17 million mansion. You make all this money. You got a couple hundred million in the bank. You're a rich football player. Well, what are you doing? And I look up these things, and then these guys don't even donate their time. They do the bare minimum, whatever their manager makes them do. You know, you get in a limousine and come over here and then sit with these underprivileged kids for 10 minutes. We'll get some pictures and you leave. So that's not helping the community. That's not going into poor communities and say, hey, you know, like this Colin Kaepernick, right? This dude has been out of work all this time as a football player because of the whole take the knee thing, right? Why isn't he donating his time as a coach in Compton or some other place where you have an unbelievable amount of poverty, you know, and disadvantaged youth that get tempted by gangs in the streets? Why not? You know, no, he's going to sit there and write angry tweets about not playing football and how they're taking his rights away. So you can't have it both ways. You are what you do. If you're going to go out there, make a difference. Make a difference. You know, it's that simple. Don't be a freaking hypocrite. But, man, there's lots of them out there. And I know also, you know what? I want to talk about Iran a little bit. We're beating war drums. And this is another situation. I got a friend in Australia. I got a friend in England. And then I'm actually trying to put together a show between the three of us. We're trying to work out times because, obviously, England, Australia, and United States, a little bit different. But we're all equally opinionated. We don't always agree, but we always respect each other's opinions, which is what you want out of people that if you're going to listen to some kind of show, you don't want people to argue the whole time. I hate that stuff. So anyway, a couple of them, both of them, don't believe that we should be threatening Iran. So I kind of say it like this. Iran sucks. And why they suck is that the government is just out of control. They want to be able to threaten. They want to be able to destroy. They hate Israel with a passion. They want to blow Israel up. They want to blow Israel to smithereens all the time. But before these people pray in Iran, when they get together for their prayer, they're going to a mosque and get together for their prayer, they say, death to America, death to Israel, death to America, before they start praying. And that's all the provocation that I need, me personally, to blow the crap out of somebody. So like the Nike commercials, just do it. You know what I mean? I'm thinking this. All this posturing, all this, you know, war, beating war drums and out there. And you guys say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And Iran says we can blow up the entire American fleet with one missile. And I'm like, one missile? They're like, yes, one missile. You know, one missile, you're going to blow up our entire fleet. The fleet with one missile. Yes, one missile. You know, okay. And I got a slingshot that could take out your whole country. Just like that. A slingshot. And that's right, baby. Doesn't even matter what I put in there, man. I put a big fat rock in that slingshot. Take your whole country. It's stupid. Stupid. One missile. You know, so now, remember when Saddam used to make all these threats? All right. And you know where he is now, right? And the bottom, and I don't even agree with that. I don't even agree with where Saddam is right now because he was the one who kept Iran in check. And you need these puppet dictators to keep the other puppet dictators in the region in check. So there's all kinds of basic peace in the world and a lack, no instability. But we got tons of instability. And now you have, they're going after Saudi ships. And who knows? Maybe the Saudis are sabotaging their own ship. Maybe it is Iranians who are sabotaging a ship. Iran is in Syria. And they're closing in. They're all along the Golan Heights. Overlooking Israel, right? And they're looking to go into Iraq. So it's not over yet. Then you have the Kurds. The Kurds are our friends. And they have been without a country. The Kurds have proven themselves time and time again. The Turks hate the Kurds. Other people in the area hate the Kurds. So I think that it's time you start blending together some of these groups and then give the Kurds some of that land. You know what I mean? Something like that. But when it comes to Iran, They're going to get their asses handed to them. And then it's Israel who will float right in there. Israel ran a mission with one of our new F-35s, was super stealth. They ran a mission. They flew all the way through Iran, right? Here comes Israel, all the way through Iran. And then was gone. They didn't even know they were there. This is a country that was totally unaware that Israel invaded their airspace, flew a war game sortie against them of what targets they're going to attack, flew right through and left undetected. And they're going to blow up our fleet with one missile. So maybe they should just start thinking, okay, maybe we can't blow up a fleet with a missile, but maybe, just maybe, they should say, it's time that we come to the table. And then, you know, I mean, Obama kissed their asses, gave them all these sweet deals. But it's time we come to the table and settle things. But they won't, because they're controlled by a religion. They're a theocracy. And it's an extreme cult. It's not even a religion. It's a freaking extreme cult. They believe in chopping people into little pieces, man. Did you see the guy that chopped his girlfriend's fingers off because she started to go to a university? And he didn't want her to do that? And he chopped her fingers off in the name of Allah? And this guy is not some radical Muslim. He's part of that religion. And that's just how baked they can get. Their brains are baked doing some stuff like that. So what about people's rights? You know? So anyway, I'm going to stop ranting. For now, I'm going to leave it there. And who knows what will happen. We'll probably be at war this weekend, I'm thinking. And it won't last long. Right. But I think it's about time. I actually, you know, what? And normally I'm against the whole thing, but I think it's about time, you know, that we start settling people's hash and start securing the safety of the world without going too far. I will say that. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Past Christiane, and the world, saying goodnight.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Mattress Firm. Enjoy one of the best mattress holidays with our best deals of the year. Get a king mattress for the price of a queen and a queen for the price of a twin. That means you can save up to $700 on beds throughout the store. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend just $499. That's up to a $699 value, free. Hurry in, your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply, valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text message and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.